at the glass wall. "Sounds great. We'll see you tonight." He says goodbye to Harden, who rudely ignores him, despite me kicking his foot under the table. A minute after his dad leaves the store, Harden stands abruptly and slams his chair into the table. It topples over, and he kicks it partway across the room before rushing out the door and leaving me alone to deal with everyone's stares. Not sure what to do, I leave my yogurt where it is, stammer an apology under my breath, and clumsily upright the chair before running out after him. Chapter 45. I call out Harden's name, but he ignores me. When he gets halfway to the car, he spins around so quickly that I almost crash into him.
"What the hell, Tessa? What the fuck was that?"
he screams at me. People walking by start to stare, but he continues.
"What kind of game are you trying to play here?"
He moves toward me. He is angry. Beyond angry. "There's no game here, Harden. Didn't you see how much he wanted you to come over? He was trying to reach out to you, and you were so disrespectful." I'm really not sure why I'm yelling, but I'm not going to just let him shout at me.
"Reach out to me? Are you fucking kidding me? Maybe he should have reached out to me back when he was abandoning his family."
The veins in his neck strain under his skin. "Stop swearing at me. Maybe he is trying to make up for lost time. People make mistakes, Harden, and he obviously cares about you. He has that room for you at his house, full of clothes just in case..."
"You don't know shit about him, Tessa,"
he screams and shudders with anger.
"He lives in a fucking mansion with his new family while my mom works her ass off 50 hours a week to pay her bills. So don't try to lecture me. Mind your own damn business."
He gets in the car, slamming his door closed. I scramble in, afraid he might leave me here, he's so mad. So much for our argument-free day. He's fuming mad, but thankfully silent as we pull onto the main road. If I could keep it this quiet the rest of the ride, I'd be happy. But part of me insists that Harden needs to understand that I will not be yelled at. That is one redeeming quality I give my mother credit for. She showed me exactly how not to be treated by a man. "Fine," I say, feigning calm. "I will mind my own business, but I'm accepting the invitation to dinner tonight, whether you go or not." Like a wild animal who's been riled up, he turns in my direction.
"Oh, no, you're not."
Retaining my fake calm, I say, "You have no say in what I do, Harden, and in case you didn't notice, I was invited. Maybe I should see if Zed wants to join me."
"What did you just say?"
The dirt and dust start flying all over as Harden jerks the steering wheel and pulls onto the shoulder of the busy road. I know I pushed him too far, but I really am just as angry as he is by this point and yell, "What the hell is wrong with you? Pulling off the road like this?"
"What the hell is wrong with you is the question. You tell my dad I will go to his house for dinner, then you have the audacity to mention bringing Zed?"
"Oh, yeah, sorry. Your cool friends don't know that Landon is your stepbrother, and you're afraid they will find out," I say, and laugh at how ridiculous he is.
"He is not my stepbrother, for one. And two, you know that isn't why I don't want Zed there."
His voice is much lower now, yet still thick with anger. But through the chaos in the car, that bubble of hope grows again at Harden's jealousy. I know his feelings are more of a competition thing than actual concern over my being with him, but it still makes my stomach flutter. "Well, if you won't go with me, I will have to invite him." I would never actually do it, but Harden doesn't know that. Harden stares straight out onto the street for a few seconds and then sighs, deflating some of the tension.
"Tessa, I really don't want to go. I don't want to sit around with my dad's perfect family. I avoid them for a reason."
I lighten my tone as well. "Well, I don't want to force you to go if it will hurt you, but I would really like it if you could come with me. I am going either way." We went from eating yogurt to screaming at each other, and now we are calm again. My head is spinning at least as much as my heart.
"Hurt me?"
He sounds incredulous. "Yeah. If it will bother you that much to be there, I won't try to make you come," I answer. I know that I could never make Harden do anything he doesn't want to do. He has no history of ever being cooperative.
Why would you care if it hurt me?
His eyes meet mine, and I try to look away, but once again I am under his spell. Of course I would care. Why wouldn't I?
Why would you, is the question.
The look in his eyes is a pleading one, like he wants me to say the words, but I can't. He will use them against me, and then probably never want to hang out with me again. I will become the annoying girl who likes him, the kind of girls Steph told me about. I care about how you feel, I say, and I hope this answer can be good enough for him. Interrupting our moment in the car, my phone rings. I pull it out of my purse and see it's Noah. Without thinking, I hit ignore before I realize what I'm doing.
Who is it?
Harden is so nosy. Noah.
You're not going to answer?
He looks surprised. No, we're talking. And I would rather talk to you, my subconscious adds.
Oh,
is all he says, but his smile is evident. So are you going to come with me? It's been a while since I've had a home-cooked meal, so I am not passing it up, I smile. The mood in the car is lighter, but tense all the same.
No, I have plans anyway,
he mutters. I don't want to know if those plans involve Molly. Oh, okay. Are you going to be mad at me if I go? It's sort of strange for me to just go to Harden's father's house, but Landon is my friend too, and I was invited.
I'm always mad at you, Tess,
he says, amusement in his eyes when he looks over at me. I laugh. I'm always mad at you too, I tell him, and he chuckles. Can we go back now? If a cop comes along, we'll get a ticket. He nods, putting the car into drive and pulling back onto the road. The fight with Harden blew over more quickly than I expected. I suppose he's much more used to constant conflict than I am. I would much rather spend time with him without fighting. I promised myself that I wouldn't ask, but I have to know. So what are your, plans today?
Why are you asking?
I can feel his eyes on me, but I stare out the window. I'm just wondering. You said you had plans anyway, so I was just wondering.
We have a party again. That is basically what I do every Friday and Saturday, except last night and last Saturday.
I trace a circle on the window with one finger. Doesn't it get old, just doing the same thing every weekend with the same drunk people? I hope that doesn't offend him.
Yeah, I guess it does. But we're in college, and I'm in a fraternity. What else is there to do?
I don't know. It just seems tedious to clean up everyone's mess every weekend, especially when you don't even drink.
It is, but I haven't found anything better to do with my time, so...
He stops. I know he is still looking at me, but I keep my eyes away from him. The rest of the drive is quiet. Not awkward, just quiet. Walking alone from the lot to my dorm, I'm flustered. My emotions are in overdrive. I just spent the night and most of the afternoon with Harden, and we got along, mostly. It was actually fun. A lot of fun. Why can't I have a great time like that with someone who actually likes me? Like Noah. I know I should call him back, but I want to revel in the way I feel right now. When I get back to my room, I'm surprised to see Steph there. She usually stays gone all weekend.
Where have you been, young lady?
She teases and shoves a handful of cheese popcorn into her mouth. I laugh and take my shoes off before plopping onto the bed. I was looking for a car.
Find one?
She asks, and I dive into telling her about the rundown lots I visited, leaving out Harden's involvement in the afternoon. After a few minutes, there's a knock at the door, and Steph gets up to answer.
What are you doing here, Harden?
She growls. Harden. I glance up nervously, and he walks over to my bed. He has his hands in his pockets, and he rocks back on his heels. Did I forget something in your car? I ask, and hear Steph gasp. I will have to explain to her later, though I'm not sure how we ended up hanging out either.
No. Well, I thought maybe I could drive you to my dad's house tonight. You know, since you didn't find a car.
He spits out, not seeming to notice or care that Steph is standing in the room with her jaw practically on the floor.
If not, that's okay, too. I just thought I would offer.
I sit up and he pulls his lip ring between his teeth. I love when he does that. I am so surprised by his offer, I almost forget to actually answer him. Yeah, that would be great. Thank you. I smile and he smiles back, warm and seemingly relieved. He pulls one hand out of his pocket and sweeps it through his hair before stuffing it back in.
Okay, I'll come by about 6:30 so you can get there on time.
Thank you, Harden.
Tessa?
He says calmly and walks out the door, pulling it shut behind him. What the hell was that? Steph squeals. I don't know, actually, I admit. As soon as I think Harden could not get more confusing, he does something like this.
I cannot believe that just happened. I mean, Harden, the way he came in here, like he was nervous or something?
Oh my God, and he offered to drive you to his dad's? Wait, why are you going to his dad's house? And you thought you left something in his car? How do I miss so much? I need details! She practically shouts and bounds onto the foot of my bed. So I go through the whole thing, explaining to her how he showed up here last night and we watched a movie and he fell asleep, how we went to look at cars today, and how I didn't mention him being there before because I figured that if I insisted she help me keep him away, it would feel odd to admit I'd hung out with him. I don't say much about his dad except that I'm going there for dinner, but she seems more interested in last night anyway.
I can't believe he stayed here. That is a huge deal. Like, Harden doesn't just stay places, ever, and he never lets anyone stay with him. I heard he has nightmares or something. I don't know. But seriously, what have you done to him?
I wish I would have recorded the way he looked when he just came here, she yells and laughs. I still don't think this is a good idea, but you do seem to handle him better than most. Just be careful, she warns again. What have I done to him? Nothing, surely. He just isn't used to being nice. But for some reason, he's being nice to me. Maybe it's a way to beat me at some game or prove a point that he can fake manners. I am not sure, and it hurts my head to try to figure it out. I bring up Tristan, and Steph takes the conversation from there. I try to pay attention to her stories from last night's party, how Molly ended up shirtless, go figure, and Logan beat Nate in a drunken arm wrestling match. She swears it was one of those things that are much funnier when you're there. My thoughts drift back to Harden, of course, and I check the clock to make sure I have enough time to get ready for tonight. It's 4 o'clock now, so I should start getting ready at 5. Steph talks until 5:30 and is ecstatic when I ask her to do my hair and makeup. I'm not sure why I'm putting such effort into looking okay for a family dinner that I really shouldn't be going to, but I do anyway. She applies the makeup lightly so you can barely tell it's there, but it looks great. Natural but pretty. Then she curls my hair the way she did before. I decide to wear my favorite maroon dress, despite Steph's attempts to have me wear something from her closet. My maroon dress is nice and conservative, perfect for a family dinner. At least wear the lace tights underneath, or let me cut the sleeves off it, she says with a groan. Fine, give me the lace tights, I guess. This isn't that bad, though. It's form-fitting, I rebut.
I know, it's just boring.
She crinkles her nose. She looks more pleased when I put on the tights and agree to high heels. I still have a pair of Toms tucked in my purse from yesterday, just in case. As 6:30 approaches, I realize I am more nervous about the ride to dinner than the actual dinner. I fidget with the tights and practice walking around the room a few times before Harden finally knocks on the door. Steph gives me a strange smile, and I pull the door open.
Wow, Tessa. You, look nice.
He mumbles, and I smile. Since when does he say in every sentence? Steph escorts us out the door, winks, and exclaims like a proud parent,
"You two have fun!"
Harden flips her off, and she returns the vulgar gesture as he closes the door in her face. Chapter 46. The drive to Harden's father's house is nice. The low music in the background of his car feels like a distraction, and I notice the way his hands are gripping the steering wheel a little too hard. He seems on edge during the drive, but I know if he wants to talk about something, he would have no problem calling it out. I climb out of the car and walk up the steps from the sidewalk. With the sun still in the sky, I can see some old vines creeping up the sides of the house and the small white flowers that join them. Unexpectedly, I hear Hardin's door open and close, and then his boots on the sidewalk. I turn around to see him a few steps behind me. "What are you doing?" I ask him.
"Coming with you, obviously."
He rolls his eyes and takes one long stride to join me at the top of the steps. "Really? It seemed like you weren't..."
"Yeah, now let's go inside and have the worst night of our lives."
His face twists into the fakest smile I have ever seen. I elbow him and ring the doorbell.
"I don't ring doorbells,"
he tells me and turns the knob. I suppose it's okay because it's his father's house, but I still feel a little uncomfortable. We walk inside and through the foyer before his father appears. The surprise is evident on his face, but he smiles his charming smile and goes to hug his son. Hardin, however, dodges his gesture and walks right past him. The embarrassment flashes on Mr. Scott's handsome features, but I look away before he realizes that I saw his subtle gesture. "Thank you so much for having us, Mr. Scott," I say as we pass through the doorway.
"Thank you so much for coming, Tessa. Landon has told me some about you. He seems very fond of you. And please, call me Ken."
He smiles, and I follow him into the living room. Landon is sitting on the couch with his literature book on his lap as I enter. His face lights up, and he closes the book as I walk over and sit down next to him. I'm not sure where Hardin went to, but he'll appear sooner or later.
"So you and Hardin are giving your friendship another try?"
Landon asks with a slight frown. I want to explain what is going on between Hardin and me, but I honestly have no idea myself. It's complicated. I try to smile, but I feel it falter.
"You're still with Noah, right? Because Ken seems to think you and Hardin are dating."
He laughs. I hope my laugh doesn't sound as fake as it feels.
"I didn't have the heart to tell him otherwise, but I'm sure Hardin will,"
he says. I shift uncomfortably, unsure what to say. "Yeah, I'm still with Noah. It's just..."
"You must be Tessa!"
A woman's voice rings through the room. Landon's mom walks toward me and I stand up to shake her hand. Her eyes are bright and her smile is lovely. She is wearing a turquoise dress similar to my maroon dress with an apron printed with small strawberries and bananas over the top of it. "It's so nice to meet you. Thank you for having me. Your home is beautiful," I tell her. Her smile covers her face and she squeezes my hand.
"You are so welcome, dear. It's my pleasure," she says, beaming.
A timer goes off from the kitchen and she jumps a little.
"Well, I'm going to finish up in the kitchen, but I'll see you all in the dining room in a few minutes."
"What are you working on?" I ask Landon, and he pulls out a folder.
"Next week's assignments. That essay on Tolstoy is going to kill me."
I laugh and nod. That essay took me hours to write. Yeah, it was a killer. I just finished it a few days ago.
"Well, if you two nerds are done comparing notes, I would love to eat dinner sometime in the next year,"
Hardin says. I glare at him, but Landon just laughs and puts his book down before walking to the dining room. It seems their fight was good for them after all. I follow them both to the large dining room. There, a long table is decorated beautifully with full place settings and multiple platters of food in the center. Karen really went all out for this. Hardin had better behave or I will kill him.
"Tessa, you and Hardin will sit on this side," Karen instructs us and gestures to the left of the table.
Landon sits across from Hardin. Ken and Karen take their seats on the other side of Landon. I thank her and sit down next to Hardin, who is quiet and seems uncomfortable. I watch as Karen makes Ken's plate for him, and he thanks her with a brief kiss on her cheek. It is such a sweet gesture, I have to look away. I fill my plate with roast beef, potatoes, and squash, then pile a roll on top of it. Hardin chuckles quietly at the mound of food.
"What? I'm hungry," I whisper.
"Nothing. Hungry girls are the best."
He laughs again and piles his plate even higher than mine.
"So, Tessa, how are you liking Washington Central so far?"
Ken asks. I chew my food quickly so I can answer. "I really enjoy it. It's only my first semester, though, so ask me again in a few months," I joke, and everyone laughs, except Hardin.
"Well, that's great. Are you in any clubs on campus?" Karen asks and wipes her mouth with her napkin. Not yet. I plan on joining the literary club next semester.
Really? Harden used to be a member.
Ken adds, and I look at Harden. His eyes are narrowed, and he looks annoyed. So how do you like living near WCU? I ask to divert attention from Harden. His eyes soften, and I imagine that's his way of thanking me. We enjoy it. When Ken first became chancellor, we lived in a much smaller place until we found this house, and we fell in love with it immediately. My fork drops against the glass plate. Chancellor? At WCU? I gasp.
Yes. Harden never mentioned it?
Ken asks, looking over at his son.
No, I didn't.
Karen and Landon follow Ken's eyes to Harden, and he shifts nervously. For his part, Harden looks back at his father with a glaring hatred. He launches to his feet, shouting,
No, okay, no, I didn't tell her. I don't know why it fucking matters. I don't need to use your name or position.
As he storms away from the table, Karen looks like she might cry, and Ken's face is red. I am so sorry. I didn't know he... I start.
No, don't apologize for his poor behavior,
Ken tells me. I hear the back door slam. Excuse me, I say, and stand up from the table to go find Harden. Chapter 47. I rush out the back door and see Harden pacing back and forth on the deck. I'm not sure what I can do to help the situation, but I know I would rather be out here with Harden than face his family in the dining room after that outburst. I feel responsible for this whole thing anyway, since I agreed to come here when Harden didn't want to. If he started suddenly hanging out with my mother, I know I would feel weird about it. Huh, like she would ever let that happen, my subconscious points out. As if he heard my thoughts, Harden shoots me an annoyed look. When I approach him, he turns away from me. Harden.
No, Tessa, don't.
He says sharply.
I know you're going to say that I need to go back in there and apologize to them, but there is no way in hell that is happening, so don't waste your breath. Why don't you just go back in there and enjoy your dinner and leave me the hell alone?
I take a step closer, but all I can manage to say is, I don't want to go back in there.
Why not? You fit in perfectly with their prudish and boring personalities.
Ouch. Why am I here again? Oh yeah, that's right, to be Harden's punching bag. You know what? Fine, I will leave. I don't know why I just can't stop trying with you, I shout, but hope they can't hear me inside.
Because you just can't take a hint, I guess.
As the words leave his mouth, I feel the lump growing in my throat. The hint is well taken. I stare at the stone patio and try to swallow the sting from his words, but it's impossible. When I look up at Harden, his cold eyes meet mine.
That's it? That's your defense?
He laughs and rakes his hands through his hair. You don't deserve any more of my time. You don't deserve for me to even speak to you or those nice people in there to spend their time setting up this dinner to have you ruin it. That's what you do. Ruin things. Everything. And I am done being one of those things. My tears soak my face as Harden steps toward me. I back away, my feet tripping on something. Harden reaches out to steady me, but I grab hold of a patio chair instead. I don't want or need his help. Looking up, I see that his expression is one of exhaustion. His voice is, too, when he says softly,
You're right.
I know I am. I turn away from him. Faster than I could have imagined, he snakes his fingers around my wrist and pulls me to his chest. I lean into him without hesitation, wanting to touch him so badly. But I know better. I can hear the warning in the thump of my heart, rapid beneath my chest. I wonder if Harden can hear it too, or feel the pounding of my pulse under his grip. His eyes are full of anger, and I know mine mirror his. I have no warning before he crashes his lips down on mine, the force of his mouth almost painful. His action is so full of desperation and hunger that I am lost. Lost in Harden. Lost in the salty taste of my tears on both our lips. Lost in his fingers threaded through my hair. His hands move from my head to my waist, and he lifts me onto the railing. My legs part for him, and he moves between them, never losing contact with my mouth. We are all heat and gasps tangled in each other. My teeth graze over his bottom lip, causing him to groan and pull me even closer. The back door creaks open, breaking the spell. Turning to look, I am horrified as Landon's soft eyes meet mine. His face is red and his eyes wide. I push Harden away from me and jump down from the rail, adjusting my dress as my feet hit the deck. "Landon, I begin. He holds up his hand to silence me and steps toward us. Harden's breathing is so loud that I swear it echoes between the house and the trees. His cheeks are flamed, his eyes wild.
"I don't understand. I thought you guys hated each other, and here you are. You have a boyfriend, Tessa. I didn't think you were like that."
Landon's words are harsh, but his tone is soft. "I'm not. I don't know what this is." I motion between me and Harden. Harden stays silent, for which I am glad. "No one knows, well, about before. I was going to tell you, I just don't want you to think differently of me," I say, almost apologetically.
"I don't know what to think,"
Landon says, and walks back toward the door. Then, like something out of a movie, a clash of thunder rolls through the air.
"It looks like it might storm,"
Harden says, his eyes scanning the darkening sky. Despite his flushed appearance, his voice is calm. "A storm? Landon just caught us kissing," I say, feeling the fire slowly burning out between us.
"He'll be okay."
I look up at him, expecting to see a smug expression, but it's not there. He puts his hand on my back and rubs gently.
"Do you want to go back inside, or do you want me to take you home?"
he asks. It's astounding how abruptly his mood can change from angry to lustful to calm. "I would like to go back inside and finish dinner. What do you want to do?"
"I suppose we can go back in. The food is pretty good,"
he says, smiling, and I giggle.
"That's a lovely sound,"
he tells me, and I meet his gaze. "You're in a much better mood," I say, and he smiles again. He rubs the back of his neck like he always does.
"I don't understand it either."
So he is just as confused as I am? I wish my feelings for him weren't so strong. Then I could deal with him much better. When he says things like this, it makes me care for him that much more. I only wish he could feel the same, but I have been warned by Steph and Harden himself that it will never happen. Thunder rolls again and Harden takes my hand.
"Let's go inside before it rains."
I nod and he leads me inside. He doesn't remove his hand from mine as we walk back into the dining room. Landon's eyes dart down to note this, but he says nothing. As much as I don't want Landon to see it, I love the way Harden's hand feels over mine. I love it too much to pull away. Landon focuses back on his plate as we retake our seats. Letting go of my hand, Harden looks up at his father and Karen.
"I am sorry for yelling at you that way,"
he mutters. The surprise on everyone's face is evident, and Harden looks down at the table.
"I hope I didn't ruin the dinner that you put so much effort into,"
he continues. I can't help myself. I reach under the table and put my hand over Harden's, giving it a light squeeze.
"It's okay, Harden. We understand. Let's not let the night be ruined. We can still enjoy the dinner."
Karen smiles and Harden looks at her. He gives her a small smile, which I know takes a lot of effort from him. Ken doesn't say anything, but he nods in agreement with the sentiment. I slowly pull my hand away, but Harden laces his fingers through mine and looks sideways at me. I hope I don't wear the giddy expression I feel inside. For what seems like the first time in my life, I don't overthink things, like why am I holding his hand when I'm dating Noah? Dinner continues well, but I find myself a little intimidated by Ken now that I know he's the Chancellor. That is a huge deal. He tells us about when he moved from England and how he loves America, and the state of Washington in particular. Harden is still holding my hand as we both struggle to eat using one hand, but neither of us seems to mind.
"The weather could be better, but it's beautiful here,"
Ken muses, and I nod in agreement. "What are your plans after college?" Karen asks me as everyone finishes eating. "I'm going to move to Seattle and hopefully work in publishing while I work on my first book," I say with confidence.
"Publishing? Do you have any houses in mind?"
Ken asks. Not exactly. I will take any opportunity I can get to get my foot in the door.
That's great. I happen to have some pretty good connections at Vance. Have you heard of it?
He asks, and I look at Harden. He had mentioned knowing someone there before. Yes, I've heard great things about it, I smile.
I can make a call for you if you would like, to see about an internship. It would be a great opportunity for you. You seem like a very bright young woman, and I'd love to help you out.
I take my hand out of Harden's and clasp it with my other just under my chin. Really? That would be so nice of you. I really appreciate it. Ken tells me that he will call whoever it is that he knows on Monday, and I thank him repeatedly. He assures me it's nothing and that he loves to help any time he can. I put my hand back under the table, but Harden has moved his hand away, and when Karen stands and begins to clear the table, he excuses himself and walks off upstairs. Chapter 48. Karen smiled appreciatively when I offered to help with the cleanup and seemed a little surprised I would. I load the dishwasher while she washes the large serving plates. I realize the plates all look really new and remember how much damage Harden caused that night. He can be so cruel. If you don't mind me asking, how long have you and Harden been seeing each other? She blushes at her own question, but I give her a warm smile. Figuring it best just to dodge the dating question, I say, well, we have only known each other for about a month. He is friends with my roommate, Steph. We have only met a few of Harden's friends. You are different from the ones that I have come across. Yeah, we're very different. Lightning flashes and the rain begins to pound against the windows. Wow, it's really coming down out there, she says, and pushes the small window in front of the sink closed. Harden isn't as bad as he seems, she tells me, though really it feels sort of like she's reminding herself. He's just hurt. I would love to believe that he won't always be this way. I must say I was very surprised that he came tonight, and I can only believe that's your influence on him. Taking me by surprise, she wraps her arms around me and pulls me into a hug. Unsure what to say, I hug her back. She pulls away but keeps her well-manicured hands on my shoulders. Really, thank you, she says, then blots her eyes with a tissue from her apron before returning to the dishes. She is too kind for me to tell her that I don't have any influence on Harden. He came tonight only because he wanted to annoy me. After I finish loading the dishwasher, I stare out the window watching the raindrops trickle down the glass. It is remarkable that Harden, who hates everyone except himself and maybe his mother, has all these people who care about him yet refuses to let himself care for them. He is lucky to have them. Us. I know I am one of those people. I would do anything for Harden. Even though I would deny it, I know it to be true. I have no one, except Noah and my mother, and both of them together don't care about me the way Harden's soon-to-be stepmother does him. I'm going to go check on Ken. Make yourself at home, dear, Karen says to me. I nod and decide to go find Harden, or Landon, whichever one of them appears first. Landon is nowhere to be found downstairs, so I make my way up to Harden's room. If he's not up here, I figure, I'll just go sit downstairs alone. I turn the handle, but the door is locked. Harden? I try to speak quietly so no one hears me. I tap my knuckles against the door, but hear nothing. Just as I start to turn away, the door clicks and he opens it. Can I come in? I ask him, and he nods once and pulls the door open just enough for me. There is a breeze in the room, and I can smell the cool scent of the rain coming through the bay window. He walks over and sits down on the built-in bench surrounding the window and raises his knees up. He stares out the window but doesn't say a word to me. I sit across from him and wait as the constant drumming of the rain creates a calming rhythm. What happened? I finally ask. When he looks at me with a confused expression, I explain. I mean downstairs. You were holding my hand and then... Why did you pull away? I am embarrassed by the desperation in my voice. I sound too needy, but the words have already been delivered. Was it the internship? Do you not want me to take it for some reason? You offered to help me before.
That's just it, Tessa, he says, and looks out the window again. I want to be the one to help you, not him.
Why? It's not a competition, and you were the one who offered first, so thank you. I want to ease his mind on this, even though I don't understand why it matters. He lets out an exasperated sigh and hugs his knees. Silence hangs between us as we both stare out the window. The wind has picked up, swaying the trees back and forth, and the lightning is more frequent now. Do you want me to leave now? I can call Steph and see if Tristan can pick me up, I whisper. I don't want to leave, but sitting in silence with Harden is driving me insane.
Leave? How do you get that I want you to leave from me saying I want to help you?
He raises his voice. I don't know. You aren't speaking to me, and the storm is getting worse, I stutter.
You are maddening. Absolutely maddening, Teresa.
How? I squeak.
I try to tell you that I want to help you, and I hold your hand, but that doesn't do anything. You still don't get it. I don't know what else to do.
He puts his face in his hands. He can't possibly mean what I think he does. Get what? I don't get what, Harden.
That I want you. More than I have ever wanted anyone or anything in my entire life.
He looks away from me. My stomach flips over and over, and my head starts to spin. The air between us has once again shifted. Harden's unguarded admission hits me hard, because I want him too, more than anything.
I know you don't feel that way, but I...
He begins, and this time I am the one to cut him off. I move his hands off his knees and pull them, bringing him to me. He hovers over me, uncertainty clear in his green eyes. I hook my finger into the collar of his shirt and pull him down to me, eye to eye. He rests his knee beside my thighs on the bench, and I look up at him again. He takes a few breaths, his eyes shifting from my lips back to my eyes. His tongue swipes over his lower lip, and I inch closer. I expected him to kiss me by now. Kiss me, I beg. And he moves his head closer, leaning into me. He snakes his arm around my back and guides me down so my back is lying flat on the cushioned bench. I open my legs for him, for the second time today, and he lays his body between them. His face is inches away from mine when I lift my head up to kiss him. I can't wait any longer. As our lips brush, he gently pulls away, nuzzles his head in my neck, planting a small kiss there, then slowly brings his lips back up. He kisses the corner of my mouth, then my jaw, sending shivers of pleasure through me. His lips brush over mine once more, and he runs his tongue over my bottom lip before closing his lips around mine and opening them again. The kiss is gentle and slow as he laps his tongue around mine. One of his hands rests on my hip, fisted around the material of my dress where it is bunched up at my thighs. The other hand caresses my cheek as he kisses me. My arms wrap around his back, hugging him tightly to me. Every fiber of me wants to bite his lip, to pull his shirt over his head, but the soft and gentle way he is kissing me feels even better than the usual burn of fire. Harden's lips mold to mine, and my hands travel up his back. His narrow hips grind down on mine, and a whimper escapes my lips. He swallows my gasps as his lips trace mine, movement for movement.
Oh, Tessa, the things you do to me, the way you make me feel,
he whispers into my mouth. His words unravel me, and I reach for the hem of his shirt. His hand travels down from my cheek to my chest and down my stomach, where goosebumps are forming on my skin. His hand moves to the small space between our bodies where my legs are parted, and I gasp as he rubs gently over the lace of my tights. He applies a little more pressure, and I groan and arch my back off the bench. No matter how angry or upset he makes me, one touch from him and I am under his control. But his calm and control seem to be faltering. He is trying to hold on to them, but I can see his resolve crumbling. He brushes his nose against my cheek as I pull his shirt up and over his head. It strains to get over his hair, but he reaches one hand up and tugs it as he lifts off me. He tosses the shirt and immediately dips his head back down and finds my lips once more. I grab his hand and move it back between my thighs. A small chuckle vibrates through him, and he looks down at me.
What do you want to do, Tessa?
His voice is hoarse. Anything, I tell him, and mean it. I will do anything with him, and I don't care about the consequences that might come tomorrow. He said he wants me, and I am his to take. I have been since I kissed him that first time.
Don't say anything, because there are a lot of things I can do to you.
He groans and pushes his thumb against my tights and panties. My imagination runs wild with ideas. You decide, I moan as he moves his thumb in a circle.
You're so wet for me, I can feel you through the tights.
He licks his lips and I moan again.
Let's get these tights off, okay?
He asks, but before I answer, he moves off me. His hands slide up my dress and grab the tights, pulling them down, along with my panties at the same time. The cool air hits me, and I buck my hips involuntarily.
Fuck,
he mutters as his eyes rake my body and stop between my legs. Unable to stop himself, he reaches down and slides his finger down my spot. Then he brings his finger to his lips, and he sucks on it with hooded eyes. Oh, watching him sends heat through my whole body.
Remember when I said I wanted to taste you?
He asks, and I nod.
Well, I want to now, okay?
His expression is eager. I am a little embarrassed by the idea, but if it feels as good as him rubbing me at the stream, I want him to. He licks his lips again and bores his eyes into mine. The last time I was going to let him do this, we ended up fighting because he was being cruel. I hope he doesn't ruin it again.
Do you want me to?
He asks, and I groan. Please, Harden, don't make me say it, I beg. He brings his hand back down to me and runs his fingers along my hips in wide circles.
I won't,
he promises. I am relieved. I nod my head and he lets out a breath.
We should move to the bed so you have more room,
he suggests and reaches for my hand. I pull my dress down once I stand up and he smirks at me. He walks to the side of the bay window and pulls a string, setting free thick blue curtains, making the room much darker.
Take it off,
he demands quietly, and I do as I am told. The dress pulls at my feet, and I am left in just my bra. My bra is plain white, with a small bow on the dip between the cups. His eyes go wide and loiter on my chest, and he reaches out and takes the small bow between his long fingers.
Cute.
He smiles, and I cringe. I need to invest in some new underthings if Harden is going to keep seeing me in them. I try to cover my naked body from him. I am more comfortable with Harden than I have ever been with anyone, but I am still shy standing here clad in only a bra. I glance toward the door, and he pads over to make sure it's locked. Are you smirking at me? I scold, and he shakes his head.
Never.
He chuckles and leads me to the bed.
Lie down at the edge of the bed with your feet on the ground so I can kneel in front of you,
he instructs. I lay back on the large bed and he slides me down by my thighs. My feet dangle but don't reach the floor.
I never realized how tall the bed is,
he says and laughs.
So maybe lie toward the top.
I scoot toward the top of the bed and Harden follows behind. He hooks his arms around my thighs and bends his knee slightly so he is crouched in front of me, between my legs. The anticipation of how this will feel is driving me wild. I wish I had more experience so I would know what to expect. Harden's curls tickle my thighs as he lowers his head.
I'm going to make you feel so good,
he mutters against my stomach. My pulse is thrumming through my ears, and I temporarily forget we're in the house with other people.
Spread your legs, baby,
he whispers, and I oblige. He gives me a dazed smile and brings his mouth down and kisses just under my belly button. His tongue swirls around my creamy skin and my eyes flutter closed. He nips at the soft skin covering my hip, and I yelp in surprise. He sucks the skin between his lips. It stings, but there is something so sensual about it that I don't mind the pain. Harden, please, I breathe. I need some sort of relief from his slow, teasing torture. Then, without warning, his tongue presses flat against my center, making me cry out in pleasure. He makes small strokes with his tongue, and my hands grip the comforter on the bed. I wriggle underneath his skillful tongue, and he wraps his arms tighter, holding me in place. I feel Harden's finger rubbing along with his tongue's caresses, and the burn begins to build in my stomach. I feel the cool metal of his lip ring, which adds a different texture and temperature to the sensation. Without my permission, Harden slowly slides a finger inside me, gently easing it in. I clench my eyes closed, waiting for the uncomfortable sting to go away.
Are you okay?
He lifts his head up slightly, his plump lips glistening from me. I nod, unable to find the words, and he withdraws his finger slowly and slides it back in. It feels incredible in combination with his tongue. I groan and move a hand to his soft hair, threading my fingers through and tugging. His finger keeps entering me and drawing out slowly. Thunder booms throughout the house, echoing off the walls and all around, but I am too distracted to care. Harden, I moan, as his tongue finds that overly sensitive spot and he gently sucks. I never knew that anything could feel this way, this good. My body is overtaken by sensation and pleasure, and I sneak a peek down at Harden, who looks incredibly sexy between my legs, the hard muscles under his skin contracting as he pumps his finger in and out.
"Should I make you come this way?"
he asks. I whimper at the loss of his tongue and nod frantically. He smirks and touches his tongue to me again, this time in flicking motions against that spot that I have come to love, literally. "Oh, Harden," I breathe, and he groans against me, sending the vibrations straight through my center. My legs stiffen, and I mutter his name repeatedly while I come undone. My vision blurs, and I screw my eyes shut. Harden holds me and flicks his tongue faster. I take one hand from his hair and cover my mouth with it, biting down to ensure I won't scream. Seconds later, my head hits the pillow, and my chest is heaving up and down as I try to catch my breath. My body is still tingling from the euphoric state I was just in. I am barely aware of Harden's body moving up on the bed and lying next to me. He props himself on his elbow and brings his thumb up to caress my cheek. He lets me come back to reality before trying to make me speak.
"How was that?"
he asks, his voice holding a hint of uncertainty as I roll my head to look at him. "Mm-hmm." I nod, and he chuckles. It was incredible, beyond incredible. Now I know why everyone does this type of stuff.
"That's sedated, huh?"
he teases. The pad of his thumb brushes my lower lip. I bring my tongue out to wet my lips, and it touches Harden's thumb. "Thank you." I smile shyly. I don't know why I feel shy after what we just did, but I do. Harden has seen me in my most vulnerable state, a state that no one else has, and that terrifies me as much as it excites me.
"I should have warned you before using my fingers. I tried to be gentle,"
he says in apology. I shake my head. "It's okay. It felt good." I blush. He smiles and tucks my hair behind my ear. A small shiver runs down my spine and Harden's brows lower.
"Are you cold?"
he asks, and I nod. He surprises me by pulling the side of the comforter over and covering my almost naked body. Bravery brings me to scoot closer to him. His eyes regard me carefully as I curl my body and lay my head against the hard surface of his stomach. His skin is colder than I expected, though the breeze is still floating through the room from the storm. I pull the sheets up and cover his chest, hiding my head underneath. He lifts them up, revealing my face, and I duck away from him, laughing lightly at our little game of hide-and-seek. I wish I could just lay here with him for hours, feeling his heartbeat against my cheek. "How much longer until we have to go back downstairs?" I ask. He shrugs.
"We should probably go down now before they think we are fucking up here,"
he jokes, and we both laugh a little. I'm getting more and more used to his foul mouth, but it's still a little shocking to hear him say those words so casually. The thing that shocks me the most is the way my skin tingles when he says them. I groan and climb out of bed. I feel Harden's eyes on me as I bend down to retrieve my clothes. I toss him his shirt and he pulls it over his head, then ruffles his messy hair. I step into my panties and shimmy them on under his gaze. The tights are next, and I almost trip over them as I step into them. Stop watching me. It's making me nervous, I tell him, and he smiles, his dimples as prominent as ever. His hands slide into his pocket, and he looks up at the ceiling. I giggle and finally get the tights up. Can you zip my dress once I get it on? I ask him. His eyes scan my body, and I can see his pupils dilate from 3 feet away. I glance down and see why. My breasts are spilling out of my bra, and the lace tights hang just above my hips. I suddenly feel like a pinup girl.
Yeah, I will help,
he says, gulping. It is astounding that someone as handsome, well, sexy, as Harden would be as affected by me as he is. I know I'm considered attractive, but I am nothing like the girls he usually messes with. I have no tattoos, no piercings, and I dress conservatively. I put the dress on and turn away from him, exposing my back to him, waiting for him to zip it up. I lift my hair up and hold it above my head. His finger grazes along my spine, skipping over my bra strap before he zips the dress. I shiver and lean back against him. I purposely push my behind against him and hear him suck in a breath. His hands move down to my hips, and he squeezes gently. I feel him hardening against me, sending electricity through me for what feels like the 100th time today. Harden? Karen's voice calls from the hall as a delicate tapping hits the door, and I become extremely thankful we're both dressed. Harden rolls his eyes and brings his lips to my ear.
Later,
he promises, and walks to the door. He switches on the light before opening it, revealing Karen. I am so sorry for intruding, but I made some desserts as well, and thought maybe you two would like some? She offers sweetly. Harden doesn't answer her, but he looks back at me, waiting for my reply. Yes, that would be lovely, I say with a smile, and she grins back. Great, I will see you downstairs, she tells us, and turns to walk away.
I've already had my dessert,
Harden says mischievously, and I swat his arm. Chapter 49. Karen has made lots of sweets for us to eat. I eat a few while she and I discuss her love for baking. Landon doesn't join us in the dining room, but it doesn't seem to cause any suspicion. I look over to where he just sits on the couch with his book on his lap and remind myself that I need to make sure I talk to him soon. I don't want to lose his friendship. I love baking as well. I'm just no good at it, I tell Karen, and she laughs. I would love to teach you, she says. Hope is evident in her brown eyes, and I nod. That would be great. I don't have the heart to say no. I feel for her. She's really trying to make an effort to get to know me. She believes me to be Harden's girlfriend, and I can't tell her otherwise. Harden has made no move to tell her or his father either, which gives me a swell of hope. I wish this night was how my life could always be, enjoying spending time with Harden, his eyes constantly meeting mine as I converse with his father and future stepmother. He is being nice, for the last hour at least, and his thumb rubs over my knuckles in a gentle gesture that gives me a constant string of butterflies. The rain continues to pour outside and the wind howls. After we finish the desserts, Harden gets up from the table. I look at him questionably and he leans down to whisper in my ear.
Be right back, just going to the loo,
he says, and I watch him disappear down the hall. We both cannot thank you enough. It is so wonderful having Harden here, even if it's only one dinner, Karen says, and Ken takes her hand above the table.
She's right. It is wonderful, as his father, to see my only son in love. I had always worried he wouldn't be capable. He was an angry child,
Ken mutters and looks at me. He must notice how I shift uncomfortably in my seat because he follows up with,
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you uncomfortable. We just love to see him happy.
Happy? Love? I choke on my breath and break into a heap of coughs. The cool water in my glass slides down my throat, calming it, and I look back at them. They think Harden is in love with me? It would be incredibly rude to laugh at them, but he obviously doesn't know his son. Before I can respond, Harden returns, and I thank the heavens that I didn't have to respond to their sweet but false assumptions. Harden doesn't sit down, but rather stands behind me with his hands on the back of my chair.
We really should get going. I have to take Tessa back to the dorms,
he says. Oh, don't be silly. You two should stay tonight. It's storming outside and we have plenty of room, right, Ken? Harden's father nods.
Of course, you're both welcome to stay.
Harden looks at me. I want to stay, to extend my time with Harden in what feels like a world away from the world, especially when he is in such a good mood. I don't mind, I answer, but I don't want to upset him by wanting to stay here any longer. His eyes are unreadable, but he doesn't seem to be angry. Great, then it's settled. I'll show Tessa to her room, unless you'll be staying with Harden in his, she asks. There is no judgment behind her voice, only kindness. No, I'd like my own room, please, if that's okay. Harden glares at me. So he wanted me in his room with him? The thought excites me, but I don't feel comfortable with them knowing Harden and I are at that point yet. My snarky subconscious reminds me that we aren't dating at all, or even close to it, so being at a point isn't possible. That I have a boyfriend who is not Harden. I ignore her as usual and follow Karen upstairs. I wonder why she's sending us straight to bed, but I'm not comfortable enough to ask. She shows me to a room directly across from Harden's. It isn't quite as large, but it's decorated just as beautifully. The bed is a little smaller and sits on a white frame against the wall. There are pictures of boats and anchors scattered through the room. I thank her multiple times, and she hugs me again before leaving me to my room. I walk around the room and find myself at the window. The backyard is much bigger than I had thought. I had only seen the deck and the trees on the left side. On the right side, there is a small building that looks like a greenhouse, but I can't tell through the heavy rain. As I stare at the rain, my thoughts begin to run wild. Today has been the best time I have ever had with Harden, despite his multiple outbursts. He has held my hand, which he never does. He put his hand on my back as we walked, and he did his best to comfort me when I was worried about Landon. This is the furthest we have gone in our friendship or whatever this is. That's the confusing part. I know we can't and never will actually date, but maybe whatever we are doing now will be good enough? I have never imagined being someone's friend with benefits, but I know I won't be able to stay away from him. I have tried many times now, and it never works. A light knock on the door brings me out of my thoughts. I expect to see Karen or Harden, but instead I find Landon when I open the door. His hands are in his pockets, and his handsome face holds a small, awkward smile. Hey, he says, and I smile. Hey, do you want to come in? I ask him, and he nods. I walk over and sit on the bed. He pulls the chair out from the small table in the corner and takes a seat. We both say at the same time and laugh.
You first,
he suggests. Okay, I am so sorry that you found out about Harden and me that way. I didn't go out there with that intention. I was just making sure he was okay. This whole dinner with his father was really getting to him, and somehow we just ended up kissing. I know how terrible it is of me, and I know I am horrible for cheating on Noah, but I'm just so confused, and I tried to stay away from Harden. I really did.
I'm not judging you, Tessa. I was just surprised to see you two making out on the deck. I thought when I walked out I would find you yelling at each other.
He laughs and continues.
I knew something was up with you two when you had that fight in the middle of literature, and then when you stayed last weekend, and then when he came back and started a fight with me. The signs were all there, but I thought you would tell me, though I do understand why you didn't.
I feel a huge weight lift off my shoulders. You're not mad at me, or think any different of me? I ask him, and he shakes his head.
No, of course not. I am worried about you and Harden, though. I don't want him to hurt you, and I believe he will. I am sorry for saying that, but as your friend, I need you to know that he will.
I want to get defensive and even angry, but part of me knows he is right. I just hope somehow he isn't.
So what are you going to do about Noah?
I groan. I have no idea. I am afraid that if I break up with him, I will regret it, but what I am doing to him isn't fair. I just need a little time to decide what to do. He nods. Landon, I'm so relieved that you aren't mad at me. I was being a jerk earlier. I just didn't know what to say. I am sorry.
Me too. I completely understand.
We both stand up and he hugs me. A warm and comforting hug as the door opens.
Am I interrupting something?
Harden's voice travels through the room. No, come in, I tell him, and he rolls his eyes. I hope he is still in a decent mood.
I brought you some clothes to sleep in,
he tells me. He places a small pile on the bed and goes to walk out. Thank you, but you can stay. I don't want him to leave. He looks at Landon and snaps,
No, I'm good,
before leaving the room. He is so moody, I whine, and plop down on the bed. Landon chuckles and sits back down.
Yeah, moody is one word for it.
We both burst into laughter, and then Landon begins to talk about Dakota and how he can't wait for her to come visit next weekend. I almost forgot about the bonfire. Noah is coming. Maybe I should tell him not to. What if this change between Harden and me is all in my head? I feel like something has changed between us today, and he did tell me he wants me more than he has ever wanted anyone. But he didn't exactly say he has feelings for me, only that he wants me. After an hour of Landon and I talking about everything from Tolstoy to the Seattle skyline, he tells me goodnight and retreats to his room, leaving me alone to my thoughts and the sound of the rain. Chapter 50. I pick up the clothes Harden brought me to wear, one of his signature black t-shirts, a pair of red and gray plaid pants, and some large black socks. I laugh at the idea of Harden actually wearing those, but then I realize these are likely from the dresser of unworn clothes. I lift the shirt up, and it smells like him. He has worn this one, and recently. The smell is intoxicating, minty and indescribable, but it is my newly acquired favorite scent in the entire world. I change into the clothes.